Hi, and welcome to The Science of the Good Life. I'm Louisa Jewell, and I'm here today with my very good friend, Laura Robinson. Now, Laura started her career as an actress. She was in film and television on shows like Cheers and Frasier. She's also the co-inventor of the best-selling game called Balderdash, which has sold over 25 million copies around the world. Laura has also been an author with the Chicken Soup for the Soul series, and her best-selling book is called Count Your Blessings. And now she is successfully producing, she has created and she's now producing a syndicated television game show called
Celebrity Name Game
with Courtney Cox and David Arquette. Well, welcome,
Thank
Laura.
Thank you, Louisa. Great to be here.
I mean, I'm just rhyming off all these things that you've accomplished, and it's just incredible, all these different things that you've done with your life.
Thank you so much. I'm a multitasker.
Yeah.
Extraordinaire.
Right. Yes. Entrepreneur
and
extraordinaire.
A mom, yeah. Yeah. There's a lot of plates in the air at any given time.
Yeah. Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
Well, you know, today I really wanted to have you here today to talk about self-doubt. Mm-hmm. And after just going through that whole list of things that you've accomplished in your life, I'm sure that, you know, people who are watching this are thinking, how could she possibly be talking to Laura Robinson about self-doubt? But I'll tell you why. And I've known Laura for many years. And I would see you, you know, at a party, and you'd be talking about things that you're working on. Mm-hmm. And you would have successes and then setbacks, and successes and setbacks. And I was really always in awe and really amazed by your ability to just persist and keep going.
Right.
And that's really what I'm hoping that we can share with people today on how do you do that? Because I think that's such an incredible skill that you have, and it's just, you know, created such success in your life. And so let's talk first of all about Balderdash. How did that come about?
That was a pretty amazing thing. It happened, I was very young, and we always credit this one friend of mine, I'm still friends with him, he had invested in Trivial Pursuit, and he was making so much money, and my boyfriend at the time and I were like, we should make a game, as did so many other people. And so we always played this game called the Dictionary Game up in Collingwood, I started playing it as a child, and so we made that game. Our very first meeting, we got a deal. We walked out of that meeting, as a matter of fact, because they wanted to wait another year, and we were like, that's crazy, and they followed us out to the parking lot. So it was really ignorance is bliss, and that kind of cocky, self-sure attitude back then, and not really knowing how hard it was, quote unquote. I try never to learn how hard anything is, because I feel like you don't want to know how, you know, what's so difficult about it. Just go with your impression and your dream.
So I like that. So it's sort of, you know, because you didn't know how hard it was going to be, you kind of just...
We walked out of this meeting because I think it was 1985, and they said, well, okay, we're going to do a deal with you, and Christmas 87, and we were like, or Christmas 86, and we're like, what about Christmas 85? They're like, well, that's like, we don't do that quickly, and we were just like, well, that's just stupid. And we walked out of the meeting, and they followed us and said, come back, and they did like a test run, and we got them in a small amount of stores, and then they ran out, and then people were taking waiting list orders, and then the next year it was number one. So it was this instinct as a young, you know, we didn't really know how difficult it was, like we said, and we just sort of did our own idea. I mean, you have to balance it, obviously. You learn in business that you have to sort of you find out where to toe the line and where to just be bold.
Yeah, amazing. Mm. And how did the Chicken Soup for the Soul series come about?
That was kind of to do with Balderdash in a weird way, too, because apparently Mark Victor Hansen was a huge Balderdash fan, and I heard through this publicist that I knew that he wanted to meet me. And I was at the time developing this lifestyle brand about gratitude, because I have always believed that gratitude is such a huge part of the good life.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's almost on the top of all the lists I read about. How to be happy is to have a gratitude journal or whatever. So we were doing this book called Count Your Blessings. The tagline was From Oh God to Thank God, and about the blessings in disguise, that sometimes you think the worst things end up being the best things for you. So from Oh God to Thank God. And so we went to Chicken Soup with an idea to do a game for them, and they happened to have a book in the queue called Count Your Blessings, so they asked us to co-author that. So it was a weird synchronicity and fantastic.
Yeah.
And so that's how that all came to be.
Wow. And So this whole concept that you have around this, you know, oh God, to thank God. Mm. So that, I know we've talked about that as a strategy that you use. So tell us how you use that. What is that?
Well, yeah. My partner on that, on my book, is very much into law of attraction and lives her life that way. And she actually had an accident and thought she's never going to walk again. So this is somebody who is grateful every moment of the day just to be walking. She really embodies that. But she can be annoying because I'm working on this game show, which we'll talk about. And, you know, literally this is my fourth incarnation and now it's finally going to get on the air. But every time something would happen, I would call her and she'd go, every delay is for the good of the project. And I'd be like, shut up, can you stop already with that? But I would come back around. Like there's times when you know, talking about self-doubt, of course, we're human. There's times when you go down, when you're angry, when you're frustrated. I have that as well. But I would have her voice in my ear. And I really started to see that it is true. There's always something good that comes out of something bad. So in a way, when something goes wrong now, I have trained myself to go, well, I wonder what good thing's going to come out of this. And then you're looking for the good. I mean, not to say that you don't have reactions, but it just seems like that's the way the universe works, that there's always something good. And I really firmly believe with this game show in particular that we are now in the best place we could be.
Yeah, because of that.
That the other things, though we thought they were the pinnacle, it actually wasn't.
Yeah.
And so this one has turned out that way, that I'm so glad, I'm grateful for all those missteps. I mean, 4 years, right?
Yeah.
4 years later.
But I really like that strategy because oftentimes, and I think, you know, maintaining your energy is so important as an entrepreneur.
Yes.
And at those times when you could be thinking, oh my gosh, look at this huge setback.
Yeah.
You recover with your energy by
right.
saying, I wonder, you know, now that this door has closed, I wonder which one is going to open. It's a redirection of energy,
it absolutely
really.
Is. And yeah. And it helps to have a good team. Like, for example, I'm getting ahead of myself, but so I sold, this show has also been sold, I think I was telling you, in the room 4 times. So that was always one thing that I would come back to. Well, somebody bought it just on the pitch. It's obviously a good idea. Yeah. I've never doubted the fact that it was a good idea. But there's lots of good ideas that don't make it on television or don't make it on a bookshelf or don't, you know, become someone else's dream. But with this one, that was one thing that I really always hung my hat on, was that somebody bought it in the room. Like, they just can see how good it would be. And then the second time it happened, I also had an epiphany, which was, and this is, I had this epiphany from the top down instead of the bottom up. And I started realizing, go to your strengths, go to your highest contacts. And so when the second time, so we sold it to CBC in Canada, then we sold it again to Sony International stateside. And when that fell through, it was like a new head came in and they just cleaned house. You keep hearing about this, movies going to turn around because somebody comes in and says, no, we're not doing all those. So that happened to us. We got the option back and I said, you know what, we're going to go get the best agent we can get. And we're going to attach a celebrity. So I went back to an agent I'd worked with before. I couldn't even get him. He had 3 assistants, and they wouldn't even let me speak to him. And I said, but just tell him it's me. And then I got an email like 2 minutes later. Of course I'll talk to you. I'm so happy. And then I went and met him, took him the proposal. And he said, I can sell this in 2 seconds. And you know who would love this? It's Courtney Cox. So we sent her the proposal. And I flew home and had to fly right back down and meet her. And then we made a deal with Courtney. And then sold it like 6 months later to CBS. I did a pilot. Craig Ferguson hosted it and did this amazing pilot. It's like their number one pilot, and the last day of the option, a year goes by and they pass. So our agent calls up and goes, are you sitting down? Because CBS just passed, and we thought he was joking. So that one was a real blow. That I definitely went down for a couple of days. But I had it's a long way of saying, I had our agent say, they're idiots, they're going to really regret making this decision, and we're going to find someone better for the show. And he did.
So you have this agent who really believes in you. But if I hear a couple of things in that story, because I know I've seen you, you know, at parties, and you had these setbacks. You know, the way you persevered was amazing. And so I heard a couple of things there.
Yes.
And that, first of all, you had this tremendous belief.
Yes.
And you knew you sold it in the room.
Yes.
And so even though there's like 100 steps, the first step is sell it in the room.
Yeah.
And then there's like another 99. But you held on to that one
nugget
success.
I know. Like
I
a dog
saying,
with a bone.
Wait, I sold it in the room, so it's going to happen. And I think a lot of people, they have this belief that they have a good idea.
Mm.
but they'll hear one thing or they'll have a setback, and then suddenly they stop believing.
Right.
They question.
Or they listen to someone who puts it down or something like that. I mean,
how did you maintain this belief? Like, how did you not fall into this, you know, having self-doubt, saying maybe it's not a good idea? Well, they, you know.
I never doubted that it was a good idea. I never doubted that. And I'm very tenacious. So it's in my nature to be tenacious. So those things go together, but I knew it was going to be good because it was based on a game as well. It's based on a board game that we did called Identity Crisis, and I've seen how much fun it is. So if you could create the fun that you have in the room, you know, playing this game, I knew it would translate to television. So I never really doubted the idea. I certainly, it's tiring. The business is can be very exhausting, and there's so much, you know, so many people to navigate and everything. But I did believe, I was like a dog with a bone with this project. I just have seen, and someone said to me, a friend of ours, a mutual friend of ours, she was, you know, I do a few little tricks, that something that was connected to her, and I was telling her this little trick I do where I flow energy to the project every time I see a certain number, and I started to see the number more, so I think one thing leads to another, but I was, whenever it would happen, it's the number 111, I would see it on my digital clock, or I'd see it on my computer, or on my, and I start, as soon as I see it, because I'm not looking for it, but I happen to see it, and then I get a real, I sort of feel like this buzz of happiness, like, oh, that means I'm doing something right. First of all, I use it like a high five from the universe.
Yes.
And then I also disciplined myself to do what we all know is really good, which is spending time in your mental workshop and visualizing your success. So I literally, for 2 years, was going, when I would see the number, my kids can tell you, I would go, game show, game show, game show, game show, game show. Like a crazy person, out loud, like a crazy person. But we'd all laugh, and I was like, it's going to happen, that's going to happen. So there is times when I thought, I'm the only thing that's making this thing stay together.
Yeah, but okay, so you would see this, you know, 111 mm-hmm. on the clock.
Right.
And you would start, so are you actually visualizing,
yes.
you know, the successful
totally.
Game show?
And this is...
Yeah, I mean, and there's science behind that as well. You know, and,
right.
and sports people have known this for years,
right.
right? Top athletes, they visualize a successful performance
right.
of their, you know, whatever it is they have to perform.
Mm-hmm.
And so that kind of visualization also builds self-confidence.
It did. It and did build self-confidence in me. And what our mutual friend Suzanne said, and I've had this in my mind now, she said, you're standing in the outcome. You're living in the outcome or standing in the outcome. And that, I think about that when I call it buzzing. So I just get, and I feel so happy about it all. Even if everything's going wrong and there's been 10 phone calls that I just like shut all of that out and just think about the purity of how it's also going to give back to the universe.
Yes.
Because the number one thing I've heard about from Balderdash with all the fan mail and everything is how much it makes people laugh. And this show is also a comedy show. Craig Ferguson's hosting it. It's going to be on the air after Family Feud. It'll be an hour of just people coming home from work exhausted and being able to laugh.
Yeah.
So I feel like we are going to do a service.
Yeah.
And I believe that, you know, you're rewarded for, you know, giving value. So that's the value. And I've often said about Balderdash too, is I felt like I was selling laughter for 20 years because I defy anyone to play that game and not laugh.
Yeah.
Your Uncle Charlie
yeah,
says
course.
Something crazy. And so it's not really what you know, it's just how well you can make people laugh and bluff and all that. And same with this game show, it's all very funny and lots of laughter. So I would kind of buzz on just the feeling place I would have when it's on the air or when I'm winning an Emmy or, you know, just imagining what it could be, and it actually has come true in such a bigger way than I could even imagine.
Yeah.
So it's
okay,
really
lucky.
Okay,
so tell
lucky.
us what's happening. What's
okay,
happening
so,
with the show?
Okay, so we sold it to Fremantle. First of all, we sold it to a company called Debmar Mercury, and they're the television division of Lionsgate. And there's a bit of a funny story there. So after we had the setback with CBS, our agent quickly gets us a meeting with Debmar Mercury in their syndicator. So this is now going from an hour prime time to a half hour daytime, or, you know, 5 o'clock. But I couldn't go to the meeting because I had a planned vacation with my family, and I was like, I can't go, but my partner went. So I'm sitting up in Muskoka, and I have no Wi-Fi, so I drive to the library, and I can get a little bit of Wi-Fi, and I'm on my iPad, and I can't really hear, and they're having this big meeting. I can hear my partner talking, but I can't hear the suits. And I just heard, and finally I kind of doze off, and I wake up to clapping on the thing, and I go, I guess that must be good. So then I hung up the iPad, or hung up my phone, and I went back to the cottage, and he phoned me, and he said, we sold it. They bought it in the room. That
wow.
was the fourth time. And then
four,
we even
four
brought...
Times
four times,
you had
actually
to sell
kind
it.
Of five in a way, because Debmar Mercury also, we did a bunch of run-throughs, and then they brought in Fremantle. And Fremantle is kind of the kahuna of, they have Price is Right, Let's Make a Deal, Family Feud, and they wanted something to follow Family Feud, and they wanted something that had that same feeling of comedy, and Family Feud is all over the world and does really well. The new host, Steve Harvey, is really hilarious. So when they heard that we had Craig Ferguson, they were very interested, but we had to go and prove it, and we had to put it on and do a live run-through for them, and we got Craig to come and do this speculative run-through, which I don't know how we did it, but he came, and then Fremantle signed on. So now we're with Fremantle, and we're going to follow Family Feud, and they ordered 180 episodes.
Oh,
so going
wow.
from nothing and getting kicked off CBS, now we have 180 episode order, which actually, we say about The Blessing in Disguise, it's way better than a pilot, because the one thing that didn't happen for me, and the reason we're probably still alive, I think I told you, is that we never made it on the air, and didn't make it. Like, sometimes pilots get on the air for prime time, and they only get two or three episodes, and then they'll pull off. Then you don't have a chance to come back from that. So because my pilot never made it on the air, we were able to sell it again.
Oh my gosh. So it's a good thing that bad thing happened.
Yes, exactly. Right.
Right. Oh,
thank God they didn't. Wow. They didn't. Oh God. Yeah. Oh God, they canceled us. Thank God they didn't put us on for two episodes.
Yeah.
Right.
That's
yeah.
amazing. There I is, love that. Oh God, to thank God.
To thank God.
Yeah.
I know.
That's really good. I think I'm going to have to start implementing that more
it
and more.
It is good.
And now, so when does it air? When
it's starting to air on the 17th of September, which is my husband's birthday.
Oh,
so
great.
It's going to be so fun. And we actually watch Family Feud a lot. And I've been thinking to myself now when the kids watch it, I'm like, when it ends, I'm thinking, and that's going to be me. The next show that's coming up, don't change those dials. Not that there's dials.
But isn't that amazing
really
that
cool.
you're on after Family Feud? I mean, we all grew
I know,
up
for
on
years,
Family
and
Feud.
And let's hope that my show goes on into series heaven like that, because that's how I've been seeing it.
Yeah.
That it's going to be go on and on and on, and this it has a real chance to do that, to go to live for years. And we've got a board game in the works, and they've got all this an app and everything, so Fremantle really knows what they're doing. In our sizzle reel, Courtney says, you know, these are the people you want to be in business with. I'm so happy, and they really love the show, and like the marketing people are so excited. They said, of all the shows we're doing, this is our favorite one. And so they're planning lots of fun things about it and everything. And it's just, you know, something I love that about being an entrepreneur, that you can take the inception of an idea and end up being a product or a book, or like you're working on your book, and you never know where it can go and who it can affect.
Yeah, and I think, you know, you knew that board games made you laugh, that games made you laugh from a very, very early age.
As a child.
And that, you know, kind of passion for knowing, and that belief, you know, knowing that just kind of carried you through, and you have all these other strategies that you've used to get you through the tough times and to persevere. And that's what it takes. It's perseverance.
And it isn't like, you don't do it once and then you're done. Like, it's a daily. It's a daily thing, or definitely weekly. And I just went through something 2 days ago with, like, something that I wasn't happy with in our contract. And I was trying to stay really positive, and then I just went down. Like, I succumbed to not so much doubt. I guess it always has a bit of doubt in it, but just kind of like feeling badly about it.
Sure.
Feeling badly about it. And then my partner gave me a good talking to last night and said, you know, that's what he reminded me, was like, we might not ever have come back from the CBS deal. We got a second chance. And actually, it's like our fourth chance, but the second chance from the biggest thing we were at, you know? Yeah. And he goes, let's just be grateful where we are, you know, and just stay where we are. And we've got other things in development now. And this is like a great credit for us, because we are the creators, and we are, you know, we actually get a producing credit now. And you have to build on the things that you have.
Yeah. Once
and
again,
just,
come back to gratitude as well.
Yeah, for sure. I'm so grateful.
Laura, this
Thank
has
you.
Been amazing. And
we can
I'm
go on
so
and on.
Excited. I'm so excited. I can't wait to watch the show.
I want you guys to come to
I
the
hope
taping.
Everybody,
come
yes, I, yes, come to the taping.
The
I hope everybody is going to start watching in September.
Celebrity Name Game.
Celebrity Name Game after Family Feud. Yeah. And I'm definitely going to be watching. I'm going to try to make it to the studio audience
Thank
as well.
You. Yes, I want
and,
you to.
Best of luck with everything. Thank you so much
Thank
for
you.
Being
Thank
here.
Thank you. Thank
so
you for
great to have
you.
All right. Goodbye, everyone.